Time for this week's Sports Lit 101 with Bruce. And a couple of books in hand. I always like it when you come armed with more than one.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Oscar Charleston book. But next time around, the greatest upset never seen. Now, I'm old enough to remember this. You are too. I don't know about Kerry. But it's when number one Virginia and Ralph Sampson went and played a game in Hawaii. It ended at 2:54 Eastern time. And we're upset by a little Catholic school, an NAIA school, Chaminade.
Chaminade, yes.
It's called The Greatest Upset Never Seen because it was never filmed. And the radio was only in Virginia and in Honolulu.
Wow. Was Rick Carlisle on that team?
I'm not sure. I haven't. I just got the book just came in the mail yesterday, and I haven't had a chance to see it. But I think maybe that Carlisle was on that team, and I thought it would be fun. Maybe we can hook up with him again later and talk about that if that's true. I haven't gotten into it yet. And also a great book from Miles Schrag, whose dad we had on, who wrote a book about the Kansas Relays. You have a beautiful new coffee table book from him about the Imogene Pass Run, which is a 17-mile run which goes up and down over 10,000 feet in Colorado, and has historically been dominated by runners from Flagstaff, Arizona, who sort of made it their thing. Miles, we'll get Miles on. He's a tremendously engaging guy and a great great writer. So looking forward to it. And I also found today, I was looking at a couple of I've been so busy, I'm behind. I still have Sunday's newspapers piled up. But I was looking at an article in the New York Times about how historically black colleges are really in tough shape. And it's not that philanthropy has fallen off or that somebody's done something nefarious to thwart them, but that as equal opportunities open up and the number of college beds far exceeds the demand, many people who were normally attending traditionally black schools are opting to go to more, are going to integrated schools. And in a great sense, something terrible is being lost. But it's exactly what happened to Oscar Charleston in many ways, because he was at his height of his managerial career when Jackie Robinson broke the color line. Oscar was still playing baseball until he was in his late 40s. Still a force. But once Robinson and Campanella, who he had a hand in convincing Branch Rickey to sign, broke the color barrier, and Larry Doby and others, the Negro Leagues were no longer the minor leagues that they had been envisioned as a minor league that would fuel the big league and provide players. That was Branch Rickey's dream. And that did not materialize because many, many, many of the Negro League teams were owned by guys who were financially stable but could not have a one bad season or they would go under. And I found some really interesting things about Oscar Charleston in this book that I certainly never knew. One of his biggest fans was Art Rooney.
Really?
Yeah, when he was playing for the Pittsburgh Crawfords, Rooney would regularly go to the same nightclub that Charleston went to because he liked to hang out with him and others. He was, the toast of Pittsburgh. He was the toast of Philadelphia, Harrisburg, wherever he was. But there's some very interesting things that happened. He died in 1954. He was only 58 years old, and it's unclear. He had cancer, but they didn't know it. He fell, and they thought he'd recover for a while, but he didn't. And in that, he had been playing baseball or managing baseball since the early 1900s. So people that, we talk about knowing people who are old enough to have seen Ruth or Gehrig play, right? My father being one, he saw Ruth and Gehrig play at Yankee Stadium. And his father would talk about seeing the Wainers and Tris Speaker and all that. Well, Oscar Charleston is a guy who was seen by Honus Wagner and Tris Speaker and Babe Ruth and Bob Feller and Willie Mays. So he was seen by a huge part of the history of Major League Baseball. And to a person, those who saw him think that he is one of the very best players ever to play. Honus Wagner said he'd never seen anybody who could hit the ball harder or who played better. And he was, before he fought, he was a six-tool player, if there was such a thing, because he was so smart that he could score from second on an infield hit because he was so fast, he'd round third and he'd start to look like he was going to slow down, and the guy would suddenly relax and toss the ball back to the pitcher. Oscar's at home. He managed in the Negro Leagues. He never got to manage in the major leagues, or he never got to be an assistant coach. He was an unofficial scout, clearly on Branch Rickey's payroll, but Rickey was at the time trying to keep the fact that he had people scouting Negro League games out of the general eye. One of the guys who plays a big role in the end of this book is Clyde Sugforth, who was apparently quite a good friend of Charleston's.
Maine native.
Maine native, yep. And the guy who handed the lineup card when Jackie Robinson came out to mm-hmm. play the first game. Sugforth was high on Robinson and Campanella, as was Charleston, but he couldn't get the background information on them that Charleston could, because Charleston was, among all the Negro League players, among black people in America, by far the most popular. Now, Josh Gibson was a great player. Cool Papa Bell. I mean, we can go on. Buck O'Neill said, in 8 1/3 decades of watching baseball, Oscar Charleston was simply the best baseball player I ever saw. John McGraw said he was the best baseball player he ever saw. Honus Wagner said that. People say that he played in the shadow of second base in center field, and almost nothing ever got hit over his head. We're talking about ballparks that sometimes didn't have fences.
Right.
He formed a partnership late in life along with a promoter with Jesse Owens, and they would do all kinds of things. Like Jesse would race the 120-yard hurdles against someone who didn't have to run hurdles, and Jesse raced horses and all these kinds of things. Owens apparently later in life complained bitterly that he felt like he'd been really abused and that kind of thing. And Oscar's take on it was, well, we were making $400 or $500 a month when the average American worker was making $100 a month, white or black. We were doing really pretty well, and I didn't find it demeaning to be an entertainer as well as a baseball player. Very cerebral guy, had interests in jazz and reading and history. He was someone who paid a lot of attention to what went on in the world, and who it seems was probably forgotten more because it was just the wrong time. I mean, his star was fading as Major League Baseball was embracing African Americans. I would say that the statistical section of this book at the end is worth it alone. It's a very well-researched book. The author again is Jeremy Beer. But I think what is really phenomenal is how many famous people he intersects with over the course of his life, and yet I didn't know anything about him. You know, I mean, I would see in all the books, I would see Oscar Charleston, great player for Indianapolis, Oscar Charleston, great player here and there. In all the other books that we've talked about the Negro Leagues, Satchel Paige, early black baseball entrepreneurs, but it wasn't until this book came out, and this really is a reaction to a Tom Boswell dismissal of Oscar Charleston, saying that, rating him, that he was a singles hitter, whatever. Well, no, he had 39 home runs one year. That doesn't make him a singles hitter in the dead ball era. Because this guy said, well, let's look at the facts, because if all these people say he's that great, let's go look up the records. So he did exhaustive research, talked to all the people he could find that had played with him or seen him play, and were really impressed. So this is a great book. It's called Oscar Charleston, The Life and Legend of Baseball's Greatest Forgotten Player. If Americans read, as my friend Mark Berlin says, for information, there's a lot of information in here. And I've just got to say, this was one of the most eye-opening, thoroughly enjoyable books I've read in a very long time.
Excellent. Thanks, Bruce.
You got it.